This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Wait for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal. Dr. Teal, the Bible speaks of religious persecution, and over the centuries that has been true. Talk to us about the possibilities of current and future persecutions.
Well, during COVID, we saw a variety of anti-religious regulations enforced by governments around the world. Pretty much those are gone, but now we're seeing different types of new persecution pop up. For example, this week, the Ukrainian parliament voted to ban what has been the largest religious organization in that country for political reasons. And today, when we read this, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky signed a law banning the Orthodox Church of Ukraine. And they banned this one, which distanced itself from the Russian Orthodox back in 2018 because they don't trust it. They don't think it's far enough away from Russia. But they're banning what was the largest religion in that country. And there's also a trend to put pressure on and basically persecute or ban house churches. Now, despite them being common in the New Testament, the book of Romans, Corinthians, Colossians, and Philemon, these persecutions and regulatory pressures are popping up in nations whose most of their citizens claim to be Christian. Now, for example, over in the African nation of Rwanda, they shut down 5,600 churches over safety violations, supposedly. And they say this is due to health, safety, and regulatory issues such as inadequate soundproofing. And they issued a letter saying they're doing an evaluation of the affected faith-based organizations because they're operating in contravention of existing regulations.
Well, health and safety issues seem to be valid reasons for concern. What else is there?
Well, that's basically just a pretense. Okay, they're also going out and trying to say that you have to have some formal theological training, some kind of a document. Early Christians didn't have that. And they left out also, in terms of their regulations, Rwanda is requiring that you own a church that has its own land and owns its own building. And so that's got nothing to do with safety. Now, because of this, we actually had one of our house churches shut down in Rwanda, but one of them's still around. And we actually had to go out and send funds in order to buy land in Rwanda this month. And we're going to probably just send some more funds eventually so they can build on there. And that's affecting our ability to go on more radio stations. But we think the reason this rule is in place is they're worried that terrorists or political opposition will get together pretending to be religion. We think maybe that's the reason. But even more than that, the president of Rwanda seems to have a problem with religion. Because Rwandan President Paul Kagame says he wants to put a tax on church donations because he thinks the preachers are just trying to get money. He said in his first speech following his recent re-election, he condemned them and said, "These unscrupulous people use religion and churches to manipulate and fleece the people their money and other things will force us to introduce a tax so churches pay tax on the money they get from the people."
I just don't see how taxing the preachers brings any relief to those that donate. Do other governments think that taxing the supposed wrongdoers benefits the faithful?
Well, earlier this month, Uganda started to look at this, but shortly after Rwanda proposed this, Nicaragua decided to do this. Headline, Nicaragua orders churches to pay taxes in ongoing crackdown. They have a resolution that repealed the law exempting non-government organizations from tax. And this was published in the official newspaper and signed by the president, Daniel Ortega. Now they'll have to pay up to 30% of their annual income. Another article says, Nicaragua, persecution of the church continues. Nicaragua, acts against the church are continuing systematically with President Daniel Ortega seemingly determined to extinguish anything that might resemble even the shadow of criticism's power. The dictatorship of Daniel Ortega eliminated 1,500 nonprofit organizations, the largest number of eliminations at one time. Among such groups that were dissolved were 678 religious associations. Anyway, the trend from many governments is not good.
Well, yeah, I can see where the dissolution of 678 religious associations is worse than mere taxation. Even though it may be mild, that's a type of persecution. Does the Bible address this?
Well, in John 15, verse 20, New King James, Jesus said, "They persecuted me, they'll also persecute you." Now, on a somewhat more positive but slightly negative note, Jesus also said, John 16, verse 33, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world."
Is the shutting down of churches the tribulation Jesus was speaking of?
Well, economic and other pressures against worship certainly is a type of tribulation. And speaking of additional tribulations in this world, I was speaking to a leader in another Church of God group this week, and he informed me that Burundi in Africa now has a law that says all churches have to have at least 500 members. His church doesn't have that many, and so he was talking to some other churches to see if we could all get together. And in our case, we just recently started to get people in Burundi, so we only get a few families. And so we'll see if we can work together on this or not, but we're not sure. And this also might be financially challenging, and so it might not be feasible for us to legally function in Burundi. And we're going to have to see how that goes. But, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:23, "When they persecute you in this city, flee to another." And we see that persecution is prophesied, and sometimes Christians are going to have to flee geographically because of it.
But still, that doesn't seem like too great a burden to bear.
Well, actually, I think it is. Saying you have to have 500 adult members to be a religion in a country is wrong. Okay. Anyway, that says that what's going to happen in the future, though, is much worse. Go to Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 4. We read that the world marveled and followed the beast. And they said, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? And he was given a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in heaven, and those who follow that God. And it was granted with him to make war with the saints, the true believers, and overcome them. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." So not worshiping the beast is going to become a cause of persecution. Mm. And being killed, by the way, is prophesied.
So being killed is definitely a great burden to bear. Tell us more.
Well, if you pick this up in Revelation 13, verse 11, we see another beast comes out of the earth. It's got two horns like a lamb. So it looks like a good religious leader, but he speaks like a dragon. Doesn't really teach the Bible. And he exercises all authority over the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and all who dwell in it to worship the first beast. He performs great signs so that he makes even fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who are on the earth by the signs he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. He tells those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of this beast to be killed. And by the way, one of the ways Christians, likely others, are going to be killed is going to be by being beheaded.
Is that in the Bible?
Yes. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, "I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of them who've been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they had not received their mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they will live and reign with Jesus 4,000 years.
I know that's yet future, but it's a giant step from taxation to beheading. Is there any religious encouragement from Christian persecution?
Yes, there's an Eastern Orthodox prophecy that points to the public executioner, Sabbath keepers, coming. There's one called the Blessed Hieronymus Agathogelos from the 13th century. He says, basically, to you Sabbath keepers, it's not the end. Sabbath keeping is against the divine law. You promote the Hebrew Sabbath at the expense of the Christian Sabbath. You are not going to succeed. You became an apostate on behalf of the Sabbath. And behold, there's an evil assembly of the crafty evening leader dressed in black mourning apparel, taking in a hypocritical manner the most holy name of Christ by their flowery and dissembling speeches. These are men who are concealing their impiety under the mask of virtue. So he's saying, Sabbath keepers, they look good, but they're really not. They're the most filthy citizens of, in English, the five cities. They despise the divine law. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. I want to comment about that for a second. Neither you nor I, by the way, take a salary from donations given to the Continuing Church of God. So I realize they're trying to imply that some of the people are going to take money. Professor Rwanda said people were doing it.
Okay.
Anyway, he says that these Sabbath keepers who are promoting it are going to have a price to pay before the public executioner of the Sabbath keepers. And he calls those who keep the Sabbath inventors of distorted heresies, even though every scholar knows early Christians started off keeping Sabbath. Anyway, by the way, being beheaded would be consistent with a public execution of Sabbath keepers. And by the way, the Bible also shows that some Christians are going to be burned by supporters of the beast.
There's more? Where can we find being burned in the Bible?
In the book of Daniel, it talks about end time persecution. Verse 33 in chapter 11 says, "And those of the people who understand are going to instruct many. Yet for days they're going to fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering." Now let me add that there's Greco-Roman prophecies that point to those in the small church being burnt. There's one they call Andrew Fool for Christ from the 5th century. It said during the end times, the king, this is the beast, king of the north, will turn against them for a blasphemous religion. The remaining ones are being annihilated, and they're going to be burned to death. They'll die a cruel death. And then in 1822, a Roman Catholic nun by the name of Anne Catherine Emmerich said that St. Peter's is almost entirely destroyed by this sect, this small church. But that all that's going to belong to them, their aprons and their tools, were burned by the executioners in a public place. It's another public executioner. And they were made of horse leather, and the stench from them was so offensive that it made me quite sick. So she's saying these Christians are going to be burnt, and it's really going to smell bad. Well, wow. Obviously, annihilation and burning are certainly forms of persecution, and those are consistent with biblical prophecies. Furthermore, the Bible shows that economic persecution is going to be used. In Revelation 13, starting verse 16, we read that this beast is going to cause all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand of their forehead that you can't buy or sell, except if you've got the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. First, the number of his man, his number is 666. Well, when this was written, you couldn't control all buying and selling, but you can now. Mm-hmm. We've got moves in Europe toward them getting a digital currency. So we're seeing steps that we're going to go into place that are going to enable economic persecution in the future. For now, though, we're seeing with these rulings in Ukraine, Rwanda, Nicaragua, and Burundi, we're seeing governments implementing religious persecution that, in a sense, can help actually perhaps set a precedent for the coming beast power who is set to rise up in Europe and is going to persecute. We all need to pray, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:10, for God's kingdom to come.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy Program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is BibleNewsProphecy@gmail.com.